Welcome to the Gut Through America podcast. We sit down with the amazing people who do life in our community and who are from here. That is Gut Through Oklahoma, because we believe every story should be told. I'm your host, Hedy Coleman. Today, I am sitting down with none other, the legend, John Kellogg. Before we jump into this conversation with John, will you please go ahead and subscribe to the podcast and leave a review? It would mean the world to me. Thank you so much. John, how you doing today?
Great. Beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day in January. I'm pretty excited about this weather.
Yeah, we used to like to go to South Texas, and I always wanted it cold down here when you's down there, but this would be a bummer. This is wonderful this year.
You would have missed out a little bit, huh?
Yeah.
Now, why South Texas? Did y'all just have a place down there or something?
Is that we had some friends down there. The Watts had a down there, and then we would take the motorhome, and then Holly and Mary Lou would come down there too.
Oh,
we'd
stay and
love to play cards and swim and
just hang out and get away.
Just hang
huh?
out. Yeah,
that is so good. So, John, tell us, how would your friends describe you? Like your friends and family. If I was to ask somebody, one of your close friends or family, side, tell me who John Kellogg is. How do you think they would describe you?
Well, some of them, my wife says that I would not want to be your friend because I have a group of special friends that I never call them. I text them when I see a need.
Yep.
And they come through.
Gotcha.
Graciously.
Gotcha.
But friends have been had a lifelong friend. We talked about him before we started here at Holly Chapel. And I always think he said they came to our house. My folks sold peaches. Had a peach orchard, lots of peach orchard in early days. They came and he thought I was about 10. They come to the house and wanted some peaches, and the orchard's up on the hill. And I said, well, I'll meet you up there. And I got in the car and drove up there to the orchard. And that really impressed him because he bought a bicycle. But we'll talk about Holly later.
Yeah. Okay. So who would Holly say John Kellogg is? Who would have Holly said, hey, this is who John, like, would he describe you as funny, serious, outgoing? How would they describe you?
Well, I don't know. Probably crazy. Like, I think one time we was at Table Rock, and Jeff was probably about 10 years old, 8 or 10. And
is that Jeff Chapel?
Yeah.
Holly's son?
Yeah.
Okay.
We was getting ready to go on the lake, and Jeff said, can't you guys see that storm coming? We couldn't see it. We liked it, didn't get back. So,
so y'all almost got stuck out there, huh?
Yeah, it was bad weather.
Oh, my goodness.
Bad weather.
Yeah. Tell me, when did you first meet your wife? How long have y'all been married?
Well, it's ironic that you had asked that. I pulled out the other day. I was digging around the office and found our marriage license. And we got married at Cashin Christian Church. And she was one day 17, and I was 18. So we've been married quite a few years. Where I turned 86 the other day.
Oh.
So been married like 67 years.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That is amazing. Where did y'all meet at?
Well, it's an ironic story. I was at a ball game, and Mark Fry says, will you go with this girl? And she won't go unless have a double date. And we looked over there, and I knew I was going to get the other one, and looked over there, and there was we went, and my wife-to-be didn't think too much about me. She got in the front seat of the car to the back seat with me. But anyway, she finally got in the back seat.
So yeah, it was almost like not a blind date.
Yeah,
but, you know,
blind date. Just kinda, went there, yeah. And took her home, Matt. And then we met a few times later, and then been a wonderful, wonderful trip.
That is 67 years. What is the and I'm sure there's many amazing things about your wife, but what is the one thing that makes her the most amazing woman ever?
Well, she loves God's word. Mm. She was it's a long story we'll get in about my testimony, but she's always had a hunger in her life. Her folks wasn't really active in church, but they did go to church, but she was always a hunger for God's word and do things right, not cut corners.
Mm. The integrity was there, huh?
Yeah.
Yep. Tell me about your family. I know you married 67 years, but tell us about your family.
My dad came here in 1903 with his family. The grandma from Wisconsin bought 3 farms and a house in town. The house right north of the West Side Fire Station was one of them, but bought 3 farms for 3 boys and then a girl, and the 160 acres out west where we live on now was one of the farms. Mm-hmm. And they came here in 1903, and he said they came here in January, and it'd be just about like now. And my uncle, I never had a grandpa, but my uncle, my dad's brother, lived over there where Randy does now on Broadway, right south of us. And he said they went down the creek and they counted 102 rabbits in a little bit. And they run around as barefooted. And then the next week it had a blizzard.
But so Oklahoma hadn't changed much, huh?
No. I was the youngest of the, wasn't really playing. There was four siblings was older than me. And I was 8 years younger, wasn't really planned in life. My mother was about 44 when I was born. And my dad come here and he farmed. And then in 1941, he started Farm Bureau in Logan County. And he was the Farm Bureau agent until 51. And then
is that the same one right there on Noble, 33?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well,
okay.
It wasn't
there.
There, but he was the agent for the, then they just had one central agent, and he was in 41, he started Farm Bureau, and then 51, he opened up his little office, and then we lived out on the farm, the home place there that milked cows. I milked cows from, Daddy always had a dairy, and went to one-room school for 6 years. Right down south where the Davis place is, it was a one-room school for 6 years. Same teacher most all of those years. And it was a real come to town at a Fogarty school in the 7th grade. And then we, school was a challenge for me. I enjoyed it. I remember a teacher in high school, I wrote a note, Mrs. Oliver, told her that I never had a teacher that I didn't like, you know.
Uh-huh.
I didn't take real hard subject because all I was ever going to be is a farmer. Mm. And made good grades and I was real small, didn't do anything in sports, but FFA was a prime object. Olin Smith was the started out with Mr. Dreesen, and he went to the state, and then Olin Smith, and ended up in FFA. We had 3 national teams and milk, beef, and cattle teams that was on, and ended up making American Farmer. There was 1 out of 2,500 boys in Oklahoma made it.
And wow.
That's where Helen and I took our honeymoon to when we got to go to FFA, American Farmer.
Really? That is a cool story.
We had a long honeymoon the first time. We had a 3-day honeymoon the first go around to come back and went to work. Yeah.
Well, that's how it is on a farm, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When you milk cows and you had old equipment, lots of them. Had two children, had a son, Kevin, that was about a dozen years ago or so. He died with melanoma cancer. Mm. He had three girls, wonderful girls. They're all married now, and his wife, Judy, did a wonderful job of raising those girls. And Christy and three children, and Christy's at the office now. Her and Ashley take care of the office for me. Been a life is hard to believe. The other day is 86, and I decided I was going to change it to 68. I'm going to turn it back to 68.
Can you do that? Like, do you do that?
I
why
think
not?
You just old you feel. Hey, 68. Man asked me the other day at the office when I was retiring, and I said, "Well, when I go to Summit View, that's when I'll retire."
Yeah. Now I wonder. So Miss Oaks, just right around the corner from your office, Sylvia.
She's 93 or something.
She's 93.
I'm young.
You're a young man. Like, she'll look at you and just kind of wave you off, right? Yeah. I saw her driving. I was on Oklahoma coming towards the temple right before division, and she would pass me by. And I just this yesterday, and I was thinking, like, because she's 90 something years old, and she's all dressed up, ready for work.
Yeah.
Is that the key? Is that long life, longevity? Definitely. You're just blessed. Grace of God, the mercy of God is on your life, right? But what else would you say for longevity like that?
Well, only by God's grace, you know, because there's people that, like our son, who was in his 50s, and, you know, you're just, I think you're meant to be here to serve him if you're really true.
Come on.
I could give you my testimony if you want to hear that.
Let's go. This is our conversation. Tell me about it.
Well, we was church, very active, and spent 52 years at First Church. We're going to a little church called Lakeview out here now, but Christy went out there to church, so we would go out there to church with her. But I was 36 years old, and a deacon, First Church, and they was I knew something. I didn't know what it was. I was brought up in a little church. I remember getting baptized out in the Cimarron River, you know. Then I baptized in another church and baptized in a Baptist church. But
you just liked being baptized.
Yeah. You know, and that summer, Eugene English was a postmaster. He was big-time Methodist, and we was friends, and he goes to a Campus Crusade Lay Institute and come back, and he realized during that time, all those years he had taught, and he wasn't truly born again. You know, the book says the way is narrow, and a few find it. Mm-hmm. And so this institute was a lay institute, and in December we went there to Tyler, Texas, and it was a weekend affair, and before it was over with, Pat Booth shared with me, and I really realized I'd never truly committed my life to the Lord. I had did all the superficial things and thought I had, but I never could convince my mother that I was born again at that time. But, you know, only a man knows by his heart what his heart. Because I was thinking one time during that time about the little gospel chapel up there gives out tracts on 89ers Day. And I never told anybody this, but I thought in my own mind, why don't they leave people alone on 89ers Day? That's a joke. There shouldn't be a day that we leave anybody alone, draw people to Christ. And life changed. We come back, and Dr. Dowdy was so wonderful. And come back, and we had a home Bible study for 3 or 4 years in our house. And the people that was in that Bible study, and besides church, church was scared of our Bible study, thought we was going to start another church. We wasn't starting another church. We just hunger for God's word.
Yeah.
Those people, their lives was changed. I've failed many times since then, but it's been a complete difference in life to really know him and not afraid to speak about him anywhere, you know, because God says stand tall for him.
Yeah. And ever since then, you just kind of been living the life.
Yeah.
And making a difference throughout Guthrie.
I was 36 then, and in 81, we started to get in camp here in Guthrie. And besides the church, that's been a real blessing in my life. When we meet Saturday morning now at our office, used to meet at the motel, but you just think since Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, since 1981, we probably haven't, time I was sick and down, but other people been there. We haven't missed a Saturday in quite a few years, you know, and we read the Bible and pray for all the pastors in town and lift up God's word. And Gideon's has been a real joy in our life.
For the people who are not aware of what Gideon's, can you tell people what the Gideon's are?
Well, in 1898, two men met, and there was no rooms in the hotel. And this guy said, well, I think somebody else would allow. I know this traveling salesman, he'd let you stay with him. So they went up there, and one of them asked the other one if it'd be all right if he read his Bible. He promised his mama he'd read his Bible every day, and they did. And they met, and they started, and they sent out 100 traveling salesmen letters is going to start an organization. And come to start, three people showed up. And they ended up, 1908 was the first time they ever put a hotel Bible. And now it's 2.5 billion Bibles the other day.
Wow.
Somewhere God's
word. They put out 2+ billion Bibles.
Around the world.
That is amazing.
Opportunities in over 200 countries. There's 1,000 Gideons in Carmel, 3,000 in Russia. But there's God's word. Isaiah says it does not return void.
Nope.
It's been a
blessing.
Yeah.
That's really good. Now, Ben and Guthrie, all of your life, what did y'all do for fun when you were?
Oh, we drove the streets and did all crazy things. I was thinking about when I went to high school in 54, how many cars you think drove to high school in 54?
Probably not many.
There's about six of us.
Six. How many students was there, though?
Well, it was, we had 200 and some, I think.
Oh, graduate class at that time? You know, oh, wow.
Good class.
Yeah.
But six cars. I had a 38 Chevrolet pickup, and one time we went downtown and had 10 of us in that pickup placed in God.
Wait, so only six people in school? Was it just not common for high school kids to have cars at that time?
They didn't have it.
Okay.
People can't even understand how. And as I talk to people now that lived in, we was very fortunate. You know, always had plenty to eat, farm, but lots of people live in area Guthrie that I grew up with that I didn't realize what they was going through.
Yeah.
You know, in different areas.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of poverty.
Yeah.
A lot of poverty. But it.
So you said you all piled up in your truck.
Huh?
You piled up in your truck and would come from the school and come downtown.
Yeah, that one time.
Where were y'all going to?
I don't know. Just stupid. See, I mean, we get in there to lay sideways. Of course, I remember when I got my driver's license. The driver's license was right across from Dirt's office and
right across from where?
Bob Dirt's insurance.
Where?
Before the Masons built that
building. Oh, before the
Masons.
Okay, yeah.
There was a office there, and I was in there getting my driver's license, and this Virgil Mounts come in, the highway patrolman. He drove a school bus. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm getting a driver's license." "Well, how can you get a driver's license? I've seen you driving for a couple of years." I drove pretty good till I got a driver's license.
Then once you thought you were official, you just kind of just had fun with it, huh?
Yeah. Bad news.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, friends have been an important part of my life. You know, we talked, I don't know if we talked about Holly Chapel, is that he was he was such an encourager in my life. Mm. He encouraged me, even when I did things. We was partners for many years in the land business, and he loved to buy things, and then he'd just give it to me to sell, you know. And even if I did wrong, he was still an encourager. And I think that's what we need to be for people. We need to reach out and find someone. I actually like to call shut-in people, and because there's so many people that don't get a phone call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I remember one time, you know, I'm a pastor of a church. For those who are listening may not know who I am, but pastor of a church, and I remember one time a lady came to church, and she had been always asked people, like, you know, how did they end up there, and did they go to church somewhere else or whatever? And I think she had just moved here or whatever, but she said she had not been connected to church in a while. And I asked her why, like, what happened or whatever. And she's like, "Well, I got sick and I was gone for like 2 weeks or so. And I never heard from anyone. Like, nobody ever called and checked in on me or whatever the case may be." And so, and not that we've been perfect in that. And the church, of course, the church overall in general, we're not always going to be perfect in that, but it's so important to reach out to people. And now with phones, just to be able to just to text somebody and just check in and let them know that you're thinking about them is so important. Yeah. So it's good, great to hear you saying that and hear you say that.
Yeah, this has been such a wonderful opportunity to me for the phone.
Yeah.
To be able to, I've had people come up to me that the least person you'd ever think of being interested in spiritual things would say, "Thank you for what you post."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A friend just come back, Marco, and he went to Cuba on a mission trip. And in Cuba, if you accept Christ, you lose everything, your job. And he said in that church, that Sunday, the people wasn't there. They assigned somebody to... just what you said, sign somebody to call that person. Mm. Why aren't you there?
Yeah.
Let them know that you care.
Yeah, yeah. It's so important, so important. So kind of going back to kind of how you all would hang out downtown. Now, when I was in school, one of the common things was like to cruise up and down Division, stop at a local store, everybody kind of hang out in that parking lot. What was it like in your time? Like, did y'all cruise the streets and just kind of hang out wherever, or?
Well, of course, we, our deal, farm, you worked. We milked cows, and my dad always had somebody to help, too, but you work. But we just did a lot of, you know, it was a drive, the movie, there's four or five theaters in Guthrie, you know.
At the same time? Or?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's four. Somebody could correct me, but I'm sure I know three or four. I know two on Oklahoma Street, where Sylvia Oaks was. That was a movie house. And right in the middle of the block was movie. And then, of course, always the other one over there.
Pollard.
So I guess maybe three, you know.
And yeah.
A lot of people had a midnight or preview late movie on Saturday night. And right where, right across, right across where the donut shop is now, there was a Fred's Cafe there. And that was the second place that I ever met my wife. I remember going in there, and she was there, and I ended up taking her back to Cashin. She lived at Cashin that night, you know. But that was a late night movie to get out.
Yeah. So when you say donut shop, you're talking right there on Division and Harrison.
Right across the street from the donut shop.
Where the parking lot is?
Yeah, like, parking lot. There was a wooden building called Fred's Cafe. There was a lot of, of course, right across the street south was a big grocery store. Right across from Berners was a grocery store.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Of course, you know, when you think about when I grew up, there was as many people in the city of Guthrie as there are now.
Yeah.
But they, lots of them lived upstairs. Everything was full of.
Oh, wow. Everybody's living upstairs in
all
downtown.
Apartments was full.
Wow. And so, like above Rick's?
Huh?
Like above Rick's?
Yeah.
Where Rick's is now, was that a dentist office or?
Yeah, there was office. There was all office. Of course, Anthony's was across the street where it was, and they had an insurance office upstairs. There was lots. The whole upstairs was.
Yeah, JCPenney's.
Huh?
JCPenney's across the street from Anthony's?
Yeah, JCPenney's, let's see. Anthony's on the north side, Penny's on the south side.
Yeah. Now, was there an Ion's Hotel or something like
that? Yeah, that was the one that we should never tore down, you know, besides the City Hall. And the Ion Hotel was built later, and it was really, it was a newer hotel, you know.
Now, was that right there where the parking lot is?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember what year that was torn down? I'm trying to remember if I even remember. I was born in 74.
Yeah, probably about that time, I imagine. It was tore down. And it was a well-built building. And, of course, below was the cleaners. And then they had all kind of shops, barber shops and different things around there.
Yeah, during that time. So you're an entrepreneur. I think you made a comment like you only worked for somebody for 2 weeks or something like that. Like, I know farming is, to me, being a farmer is an entrepreneurial thing or a business. You own your own business. How did you end up transitioning and continue to work for yourself?
Well, what happened, of course, we milk cows, and that was my goal always, to have big dairy, you know, and milk cows. And then I ended up, I was real old. I was 20. And I found this farm out here. It's a mile east I-35 on Seward Road there where the curb in the road is.
Uh-huh.
And I was renting this farm, and the guy would sell it to me for $3,000.
Wait, what? $3,000.
So
what year was this?
Well, I was 20, so that would be 56, I guess.
Oh, my goodness.
So I go to Fred Holman, the banker running First National Bank, and, of course, he couldn't loan me any money. And
he wouldn't loan you $3,000?
Well, he couldn't. See, I wasn't 21. And
oh, okay.
So he got Helen Jenkins to loan me $3,000. And so my dad was upset because I was renting it for $150 a year, and I was going to pay $180 interest. Well, these same people I told you about, the Watsons, Mission, Texas, we was playing cards one night, and he ran the Central Christian Camp besides a bit work phone company. And he wanted to buy 30 acres. And so I sold him 30 acres all along Seward Road there for $3,000. And I took that, my dad, and I shook it, and my dad, of course, see, Dad went through the Depression, and it was hard for him to owe any money because he saw people lose everything.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, well, I know where a half section is over there, and from Rodeo Corner, quarter mile east to Pine, half south, half section. I bought a half section for $39 an acre. At that time, you could buy out east for $10 or $15 an acre, way out by Meridian.
Yeah.
And that kind of started me in the land business. And then we sold a home place and built a, when I was 32, we built a house there where we're living on Broadway. And while we was building a house, Holly said, in the meantime, I'd start cutting this half section up, you know, in lots. sold it like 5-acre lots.
Okay.
And he said, I said, well, I don't have no money, so well, you don't need no money. Helen Driscoll carried it, and we bought our first place, and we ended up buying about 4,000 acres and cutting it up for people and selling it for $50 down and $100 down. And it's been a, was a real joy in our life to be able to do that. And,
yeah.
And a lot of people got property that wouldn't have had property otherwise. And we love to. I was telling that story the other day about, I don't know what you read about Holly and I flying to Texas, did you?
No.
He buys a car in Denison, Texas, and he wants me to take him down there to get it. And so I took off from the Guthrie Airport and...
What, you flew him?
Yeah.
Oh, you flew
Yeah, I had an airplane. I ended up having three different airplanes. And of course, he had a nice airplane, Holly did, but of course I couldn't fly his, but I flew... Fine, and I told him to clean the snow off this runway, but get back. Because snow was on the runway, and it's easy to take off, but didn't want to land on it. So we must have been real smart. Got down there by Arbuckle Mountains, you know, where the hills is, in southern Oklahoma, and I looked down, and cars was going about 10 miles an hour. So we get to Denison, and it's an old... Army base, real wide runway, but you landed, and when we got out of the airplane, we fell on the ground. It was solid ice. We'd never, real brilliant, hadn't checked the weather before we took. It was pretty. Jeff made a remark after I posted that on Facebook. He said, that's why I never learned to fly, because you guys crazy.
Y'all ruined it for him, huh?
Yeah, we used to.
So did Holly fly too?
Oh, yeah, he flew. He had a real wonderful, he had a first airplane and the last Bonanza, real good. And I don't know what happened. He never would tell me, but 3 or 4 years, he had it 2 or 3 years, and he never flew it, so something must have really happened. But it was a real nice airplane.
Yeah. Now, how long did you fly for?
Well,
when did you stop flying?
I stopped when I ended up. Joe Hall and I had an airplane together, and he didn't ever get his license. And I had probably 15 or 20 years ago, we flew 15 anniversaries. We went to, Helen and I went to Broadmoor for 15 times in a row every summer for 15 years in a row for anniversary. We'd fly up there, and I always liked it. You could leave here about 7:30, and about 11:30, you'd be driving around the car in the Broadmoor. And that's pretty good for an old country boy. Yeah, I had about 1,200 hours in it.
Uh-huh.
250 at night. Holly didn't ever like to fly at night, but I had 250 at night.
Like, when was the moment that you was like, you know what, I'm going to get my – like, what made you even want to get a
– It just was – it's so peaceful. You just – you can't – it, you know, it can be so good. I remember one time coming back from Wichita, it wasn't too peaceful because everything in the airplane was up against the ceiling. It was rough and landed, but most of the time it was – it was just, it was just, you know, the one I had would fly 160, Holly's fly 180, and, you know, it's one time I took our son, we'd go, and I never was a golfer, but he was, and we'd play golf and then fly 4 hours, and every about 600 miles, stop another place to play golf. We went to East Coast, South, and went to West Coast one time, and I was getting ready to land at Yellowstone, and I called Salt Lake City, and I said, no, I'm not out of gas, but I sure don't want to mess around and find the runway at Yellowstone. And he said, 4600 Delta, lower your nose and you'll see it. But it was, we come from California to Oregon that day and come across, and it's just a, Joe Hall and I went to Canada one time fishing, too, you know.
You flew?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What? So was that the furthest you had flown, or?
Yeah, Canada probably. That, you know, it wasn't. Kevin and I did two trips East Coast, and then ended up Florida and New Orleans, and then back home. And another time we went California and Oregon, Yellowstone, but he had lots of, you know, 1,200 hours and a few times up and down. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that is pretty amazing. Like, I never knew that. And so, I don't know anybody who just has their pilot's license.
Yeah, well, I probably never would have had one. It would have been for Holly, you know.
He just wanted to. Did he already had one? Or yeah, did y'all do
he
it together?
Already had one.
Oh, yeah. He already had one.
And yeah,
so,
he had one.
And then he convinced you to do it. And
well, probably, you know, but it was a real fun time. That and snow skiing. I never snow skied till I was 38.
Okay.
Interesting story about snow skiing. I love to water ski boats. And I go up there and take lessons, and they have 22 people in a class at Breckenridge. And the guy says the 21 people can go up on the mountain with him, but there was one person that couldn't, and that was me. I did so bad, I guess. I just went and bought me a ticket. I'd get up and I'd fall. I'd get up and fall. And ended up, but I had more fun with First Baptist. We'd take ski trips every year.
Okay.
Clay and Cheryl Tarter and them ski trips. And if I could get people after they had one day a lesson and was ready to quit and take them up on a mountain, if I could teach them to fall down before they hit a tree.
You were good.
Yeah, having fun.
So yeah, yeah.
I had a lot of people that I got to help. Because I told the Lord one time on a snow skin that, if heaven's like this, I was ready tomorrow. That's so pretty.
Oh, man.
Last time I went, I was over 70, and they didn't charge me to go free.
Oh, you? What, you? Did you ski?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I would actually hate to say that now, but I would, it's fun. But I didn't have any ski patrol chase me down then and tell me I was going too fast. But I said,
that was not happening. I was 70. One of the things that I often talk about to people is, you know, we have several parades here. We have 89ers, homecoming, and different things like that. Do you have a parade spot? Like, when there's a parade coming, do you have a spot that you go that's your regular spot?
Well, we always did. I used to always thinking about parades. My uncle, I never had grandparents, but that'd be Randy Kellogg's grandpa. Was my grandpa and grandma. I stayed with them a lot. And they would go and I'd ride the parade with him. He would have coon dogs on the parade and I'd ride it. But we used to stay across from, right there about where Golden Age is.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Right in that area.
What was there before Golden Age? Were there houses there?
Yes, it was all houses.
Okay, I remember.
And when Mr. Chapel got it from Mr. My mind's blank. You know, Holly was working at Smith Funeral Home, and his dad bought, Mater was the name, had one, there was a lot of houses in there that had nursing home stuff in, but there was one, Mater had a nursing home on. Leo bought that for Holly to got him started.
Mm.
And that was, of course, they built onto it. And beautiful facility, the West. I got to stay there. Oh, did I tell you about my heart attack?
No.
Bill Cunningham needed a calf loading.
When was this?
Bill Cunningham.
No, when was it?
Right now, 3 years ago.
Okay.
And he had about a 500-pound calf, and I go out there, and it was on a day like today, Friday, because I put a rope on it, and I shoved it, got it in. And on the way to town, I told my wife, I said, I did a stress test. You're going to have a heart attack. I said, oh, not me. So I go to Lions Club, and oh, I'm rotten, feel rotten. I remember getting back to the truck. I go home, and I sit, and I say, you know, better go get checked out, because 3 or 4 years earlier than that, my wife Helen had a heart attack. Come out here, and they stabilized her and took her. So I go out here, and I nearly didn't go inside because I didn't want to pay the $90. And I told the guy, I said, "That's a waste of time." He said, "No, you're having a heart attack." So they stabilized me and took me down to the city, and all four arteries was 100% blocked. God had made me an artery, one artery. So about 6 months ago, we was going by heart, and Helen said, "Well, you're fortunate to be alive." And I said, "Well, I know that, crazy as I've been." She said, "No, that doctor come in, and he didn't want to operate on you." He said, "He's 84 years old, and all arteries are 100% blocked. He was not going to survive it." And I guess time Christy and Judy, Kevin's widow, got through with him, operate on him, which it worked out good. But you think about that, I was running around when God had made me, must have wanted me to be around.
Yeah. And then you drive here in a big pickup.
Huh?
I said, today you're driving around in a big pickup. You just pull up in the big. When I looked out the window, I'm like, surely he's not driving that big old. Yeah, sure enough, it was you. Man, God is good.
God is good.
He is so good. That is so cool. The elbow, like you're around and you kind of see that. What was in the elbow? Like from your memory, was there a school down there? And
I don't know. What? There's churches and there's a. Something that you probably wouldn't. I saw somebody the other day asked about the pink elephant. You ever heard of the pink elephant?
No.
Yeah, you can tell you're young. It was a right about where you turn to go to the lake.
Guthrie Lake?
Yeah.
Yep.
Where you turn to go there, it was on the east side of the road. Well, I can remember down the elbow, so you could go clear through.
The elbow?
Yeah, and there was some.
When you say clear through, going east and west?
Yeah.
Okay.
You go clear through, and then you could go north, too. And but there was all I can remember, some churches and some houses and some places of ill repute down there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I really see that I think they're going to open that up.
Mm-hmm.
That'll really be wonderful, it would, because even when Jeff and Kevin was playing ball, we used to have Little League down there.
Yeah, I remember that. Whenever,
you remember
When I was growing up, there'd be practice and games down there and things like that and stuff. So, no, it was an active community. I mean, all the way through, I was high school and stuff, and then that's kind of around after that. I believe it was when they shut it down, but I would go down there, hang out. My grandfather's a pastor at Mount Zion. And when it was down there, and so I remembered a lot. But somebody was saying like there was some a Catholic college or something like that to where people could get some. But I didn't remember that.
No, so, I never.
Yeah, so I was just wondering about that. Now, Baker's Bridge, what is it called? Right out off college, the Baker's Lake.
Yeah.
Do you have Baker Lake stories? Was that a thing for you all back then?
No, Baker Lake was probably built about the time I grew up, you know.
So what is for people listening, I love – one of the things that we used to do, and we haven't been doing this, but we would take entrepreneurs over to Guthrie Junior High and let them talk to the students, because I think one of the things for me, having children, like what does it look like for my children to stay around here and not feel like they have to leave? And I think – younger people see entrepreneurs and people who have done some amazing things in the community like yourself. What would you say is kind of the hardest part of working for yourself? What's been the hardest part, or what would you suggest to somebody who's thinking about starting something in the community?
Oh, I think if you just have an idea and go forward with it and just not. We used to always think, we used to have OSU ball tickets and Guthrie tickets, and that was when Guthrie wasn't really doing good in football. Mm-hmm. Then you go to OSU and they get beat. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, that's about like life. You just have about 20 beats, but you got one. Just have an idea and stick with it and treat people right. I think that's the secret of life, is treat people the way you would want them to treat you.
Yeah.
And you'll be successful.
Yeah.
You know? And have some friends, have somebody that you can really confide with. Serve the Lord, make the Lord first in your life, and lots of things will fall in place.
Yeah. Yeah, I love listening to you talk how there was so much of help. Somebody helped you, or somebody did this for you, or you all figured out different ways for you to be able to help something, and then working together. That's so inspiring and really cool and encouraging to hear, and it speaks to the value of relationships.
Yeah, it's been a joy this last probably about a year now. I met some people, and they got their lunches at 2 o'clock, the mobile meals.
Yep.
And I thought, well, why can't I do that? And I called up Bill Cunningham, and I've become pretty good friends after retired. And of course, he can drive. He can't deliver meals, but, you know, I had that stroke. But we do mobile meals once a week. And then my grandson Tanner helps me now, and generally they'll call, and we have to do it twice a week.
Gotcha.
It's really a desperate, and they need help out there serving the mobile meals, and that's really been a joy to do that.
Yeah, how many houses do you typically serve?
We do 20.
20 houses in a day within that lunchtime?
20 or 21.
How long does that take you to do that?
Just about a little over an hour.
Okay, yeah.
And then we eat. You know, a lot of people do that, don't eat, but I always eat there with them.
Oh, you take it.
That's a wonderful... wonderful service.
Yeah, yeah, that's really good. What are some other things like I may not would know that was downtown or just around Guthrie that's no longer here or kind of tell, like for whenever you would come down Division, like the Walmart and all that stuff, did that stop at, wouldn't like that Sonic on Division, that wasn't there?
Well, City Limits, see, when we started the Water District, it went, and I forget how many years ago it was, Frank Davis and Kenneth Mitchell, and I was on the board for about 20 years, Logan County One. They come up clear. Like Abe's office now, he has to get water from the Water District.
Yeah.
That wasn't in the city limits.
Oh, wow.
Right there. That was not in the city limits.
In AIDS, when you're talking, that's right there before you turn into Walmart, right?
Yeah,
right.
That wasn't even a city. That was a dairy there, Enda's Dairy, that had the land. It was a dairy there.
Yeah.
He sold, people could come by and buy raw milk.
Yeah.
See, my folks, my brothers and sisters used to deliver milk to houses. Then they took it to Fairmont's. Then when I got most, we had a bulk dairy, and a truck would come pick it up. We still have a little cap show where Kellogg Dairy, where they delivered milk to people's houses.
Wow, okay. So whenever you all were doing milk, across the street was a milk farm, is a dairy farm as well.
Where?
Across the street from you on Broadway, there was a dairy farm.
Was your
dairy farm, was it there or was it at a different place?
Well, my dairy farm?
Yeah.
It was... the home, I sold 50 acres, we did, Helen and I did, to the Davises, and that's up on Industrials where the dairy farm was.
Oh, okay.
See, there was 200 and some dairies when I grew up in Logan County, and the Davises closed theirs up about 6 months ago with the last one. There's no other dairies in Logan County.
Wow. Wow. Who would ever imagine? 200 to none now.
Yeah.
It just shows how farming has changed in general, yeah. Right? Is it just because the big farms have kind of?
I think it is. And Ernest used to always say that New Mexico could with the irrigation and the way they can grow things, we can't even compete mm-hmm. with them.
Yeah.
You know? And there was where Stables was when we got married, We come back. You'll like this starting off with lots of. We come back from a honeymoon, and there was a grocery store. We went in the grocery store, and my wife said, "Well, how are you going to buy groceries? You don't have any money." And I said, "I'll write a check." And so we go in the grocery store, and my dad's secretary come and brought a $50 bill over there to us. So that's how we started buying our groceries. Because we'd spent all of our money on matching bathing suits.
Yeah. That's really good. So she saw you in the grocery store. So Stables was a grocery store, right?
That was a grocery store. Before that, it was an implement. No, I guess after that, it was an implement place. John Flash had implements, sir.
Okay.
And my dad's office was just across, right by the library. Now, it was an old wooden building there, and there was a cream place there right south of Mr. Leonard's, and across the street east were the Kelso's was on the corner where the Interbank Drive-In is, Kelso's yep. Feed Place, and then east of it was Butterworth's Car Place. But north of that, there was a Pearsall Dairy. There was another dairy there. It was Dairy Pearsall, and there was Terrell's and Fermo's. So there's three dairies, and then this Jim Leonard bought cream if you had cream come to town.
These dairies was a big thing.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I guess milk was just so common back then. Now I go to people's house, they don't even have any milk in the fridge. You know, it's not like a common, like you drink milk with everything back then, and I guess use it for other stuff.
Yeah, it was about everybody. Well, it was the way you had some because, you know, you went, took your eggs town on a weekend and helped buy groceries, you know, right where it was a big grocery store where IBC was. Now, where IBC is, that was yeah. Douglas Grocery Store was on that corner. And then there's a gas station on the corner, right at the corner. And then east was another gas station.
Gotcha. Now, you said Stables was a grocery store, but then earlier, did you say there was a grocery store right there on Harrison and Division 2?
Yeah, there was.
So there's two?
Well, at one time, Bill Gerhardt told me in Guthrie there was 64 grocery stores.
What?
They was in houses. They was.
Gotcha.
And I might be 40. We'll say 44.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot. But
still sounds like a lot.
I can remember one down by Furniture Factory. It was down there during the war, and my dad was calling on the people who went to the church. And I can remember going in that little house, and they had this where you buy gum and you had the stuff, but there was no gum. You couldn't get gum during the war. I remember seeing that.
Oh, wow. And that Furniture Factory, was that over on off of College?
College, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think at that time, it was probably a vacant building, and it did come on after that. But, you know, it really did. It was the big thing that held Guthrie together for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I saw the other day where Autoquip had their anniversary, you know, and there was a man that built the Autoquip building. He was going to sell houses and modular homes. And ended up, went south. And Tom Williams represented they had 556,000 is what they owed. And Tom got me to be the representative. And I took that over for 3 or 4 years before we finally sold it to Minor Autoquip. And they come and they got 100% on their dollar, the people that it did stuff out there. And got it. But Autoquip has been a wonderful thing for Guthrie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a hidden gem. It's amazing. Like, not as many people even know that it exists. And the jobs that it's had and the longevity of some of those people's jobs has been pretty amazing. And it's if you've never been out there, it's amazing. It's amazing facility and how clean it is. It's pretty cool to see. So, John, I don't want to keep you all day, but man, I can sit here and listen to your stories all day, all day long. But you know, one of the things that I love about our community is this whole idea of just choosing Guthrie, like people making it a priority to do life in Guthrie and in all sorts of ways. For you, what does it mean to choose Guthrie?
Well, it's never. All my brothers and sisters left. One went to Indiana, one New Mexico, and one California. And I stayed home to be, and it's never had any, of course didn't have, my dad wanted me to go to college and I didn't want to, I wanted a farm. And so it's never been a, Guthrie's just been home to me. It's been very wonderful. People have been good, been a privilege to be part of it. And I think wherever we're at, if we'll do what's right, serve him, we can be happy in any situation.
Yeah.
Even if it's adverse situation, we can be happy if God's part of our life.
Yeah. It's good. Any closing words, anything that you want to say to
thank you for the opportunity to come and be in. I just, whatever people have, life is, we get so bottled up and we forget about Christ being first in our life. And I fail him. I fail him more than I succeed. But it's been a real joy to have a true born-again experience.
Yeah. How do people get born again?
Just turn to the Lord. Ask him to come. Remember what the thief, what Christ told the thief, said.
On the cross.
Yeah.
Right there next to him.
You'll be with me in paradise. We realize we're lost. We need somebody else. Turn to him.
Yeah.
And just, it is, and I think, I feel fortunate in my life because I could have went through life so easy, you know, deacons, all that stuff, and thought I knew him, and eternities. We can't even comprehend. You know, I never thought I'd be 86, and no Kellogg's lived that long. But, you know, eternity's just nothing. Seek God. He'll change your life if you really truly repent. Direction.
Thank you, John. I appreciate you. People can find you on Facebook at John Kellogg.
Yeah.
Follow him if you want to continue to be inspired. Thank you for serving our community so well. You are an inspiration to me. The longevity, the willingness to serve people, to be bold with your faith are all the things that I get the opportunity to see in you. And so I thank you for that and taking the time to come hang out with me. And
my privilege.
Share your story. And ladies and gentlemen, we are on a mission to have every story told of those doing life in Guthrie, Oklahoma, and those who are from here. Will yours be next?